Hello, this is the Trium of Awesomeness. This is Ian,
Sabrina,
and Rachel.
Woo! And this week we're going to be taking a look at imagery in our book.
Where are we?
We are, actually.
Dun, dun, dun.
Indeed. So my topic for this week is just generally looking at actually a lack of imagery in the Crucible.
Dramatic pause. I like dramatic sounds.
Dramatic sounds are good.
It shows imagery.
Indeed. Of course, in the Crucible, it seems that there isn't much imagery, because, I mean, I would think that in most plays, you would expect to find imagery in, you know, the form of character descriptions, well, like, descriptions of costume and appearance and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or in descriptions of the setting, but in the Crucible, I mean, he describes the setting in just one little paragraph at the beginning of Act 1, and when he introduces the characters, I mean, it's very sparse. It's not like he gives details on how they should dress or anything. I mean, like when he introduces Abigail, he just says that she is strikingly beautiful. That's it. I mean, that's all we really find out about her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also noticed the same thing at the beginning of Act 2. He just has a little paragraph describing what the room's like, and there's a little more imagery, but it's still pretty minimal. So I think that the reason, I mean, in doing that, he pretty much leaves it up to the director how they want to do everything, so it's not like he has a real highly structured visual aspect of it, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you direct it one way, somebody else could take a completely different direction. So I think
yeah.
that the main reason he did that and kind of downplayed the visual aspects was because, I mean, the play isn't primarily a historical drama, like it is, but he's mainly trying to, you know, critique contemporary society. So I think that if he put too much emphasis on the aspects that made it historical, then it would begin to seem like he was just trying to make like a bit of historical fiction and tell a part of the United States history, and it would kind of lose some of its relevance to.
So you think maybe he lacked imagery with the sole purpose of making his underlying point known?
And it's kind of like purposeful?
Yeah. So
like
that
he did it on purpose, just
pretty much, yeah, because he wanted it to make sure that people interpreted it as a historical drama that was hiding a major social criticism, not a historical drama that just happened to, you know, have parallels with something that was going on right then.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Because, you know, if you put too much in, it would just seem like it was completely about it, and you might completely lose sight of the fact of what he was actually trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so I think it's important.
Because, I mean, you can tell that he had research and stuff, but I know in some books that are historically based, I mean, there's ridiculous amounts of stuff that goes into it. So you can tell it's like, you know, they might as well have written a dissertation on the subject. They just did it in the form of a fictional story, so.
Yeah, he didn't want a PhD.
No, he didn't. He just wanted Joseph McCarthy to quit what he was doing.
I think it's really interesting, though, that he, like, he didn't use a lot of imagery, you know, that he did it on purpose.
I think it is, because I think, like, I think we look at literature sometimes and we don't, at the end, you don't really think that they meant to say and do all the things, you know, we're like, oh, look how many metaphors they had, but you don't necessarily
yeah.
think that, oh, they're like, gotta get a lot of metaphors
yeah.
in here. But I think with this piece, it's pretty obvious that it was done on purpose, which
yeah.
I think is cool, because you can look at it and go, wait, this was on purpose. And sometimes
yeah.
I think you look at stuff and you're like, the author didn't even think about this.
Yeah, you draw conclusions and you're like, is that really even possible? Like, could they have consciously thought of this? But I think with this, it's kind of hard to look at it and think that it was just coincidence.
Yeah, I think it was definitely done on purpose, and that's interesting.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I have, so who will go next?
Sabrina will.
All right.
Okay, so I'm talking about the few brief little glimmers of imagery that we have found, which isn't a lot. I think imagery is very important in literature, even if it's lacking.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea of imagery is really important, and I said that, so I thought I'd say that, because I said that. But as Ian just said, Miller, I almost combined Miller and imagery and call it Millardry, but that's not right. I was trying to say that Miller obviously didn't use a lot of imagery.
Yeah.
I don't know why I messed that up so bad. But I noticed two things that were both pretty obvious. The first one is Abigail makes a statement, and, like, I know, like, sometimes what people say can make you see other things.
Yeah.
So, Abigail makes a statement where she's talking to John Proctor, who we all know they had their little fling thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
fling
I'm saying?
Thing.
Well, that's important because she says to John Proctor, that he sweated like a stallion, which I think gives you a really, like, interesting picture in your head about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can picture him like that, and she's pretty much just saying that whenever he sees her, he acts like that because he's still, like, he knows he sinned and he wants to do it again. She's saying that's all he wants, and that she's like, oh, you don't care about your wife at all. He's like, this isn't happening anymore, and she's like, well, and, like, no matter what she really meant by it, like, it gives you a picture just based on her words.
Yeah.
Which I think is important because, you know, we don't always think, like, what they're saying really shows that much.
You always think that they had a relationship and that...
Yeah. And, like, even in his response, he's kind of like, well, I, you know...
Yeah.
One of those, like, real shaky type things.
And
you know what I'm saying.
I also think...
You guys, you know what I mean. I'm talking in gibberish, but it makes sense.
I also think about the stallion thing. I know in part of Act 2, then, I forget if it's Proctor or his wife, they say something about, like, the promise that a stallion makes to a mare. So I think it,
yeah.
like, kind of brings that idea back. And, you know, this time it's not Abigail saying it, so I think it just kind of ties the...
The ideas together, the whole...
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. It's good. The other thing of imagery... that was my segue there. The other piece of imagery that I noticed, and... It's in Act 2, is when Mary comes home and she brings with her the poppet, the doll, the doll, I said it so intense, and says that she made it for Elizabeth. And then all the people come to their house calling witch and saying Elizabeth has been accused of witchcraft, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, well, do you have any poppets in your house? And she's like, no, I never kept them. They're like, what about that one? She's like, well, that's Mary. She just brought it here. And because that... They go and they check it, and there's a needle in the stomach of this poppet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Earlier that same night, Abigail ends up with a needle in her stomach, claiming that Elizabeth's spirit did it to her, because Elizabeth hates her, because Abigail's trying to steal her husband.
Yeah.
And I think that it shows, like, a really good image, because you see that poppet in, like, in that situation, and you automatically think evil things. Like, you just yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get the whole idea of, like, yeah. Exactly. You're like voodoo, and you're like, oh, you stab this, and they get, oh, you know, like the whole, like.
That's crazy.
That little scream. And I thought that although it's kind of like minor as far as imagery goes, it really does give you a picture
of
what's going on. And it's a link. Like, you see that, and it's almost like a symbol. Like, it's almost kind of symbolism, too.
Yeah, and I also think that, like, the doll itself is, like, kind of fragile and frail and stuff, and I think that kind of you can also be taken as, and, like, when Reverend Hale is trying to describe, like, Proctor keeps asking, well, what's a poppet mean? What's it signify? He can't say. He's like, well, it means that, it means, well, you know it's evil. Like, he can't give a definite explanation.
Exactly.
So I think it kind of shows, like, the emptiness that they're basing the whole, like, witch trial thing off of.
Right. It's like they don't have a reason for stuff. They just have to keep accusing people and stuff, even though there's not a real reason for it. It's pretty good.
Yes.
But those are the only two examples I could really find for imagery, because, as Ian said, there is none.
Well, still, I mean, when there isn't a lot, you gotta focus on the small things that are there, so.
Except there is a big thing of imagery.
Yes, a general overall notion.
Which is my segue here.
Rachel Dunlap.
What I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Dunlap.
Okay, so pretty much with imagery, like, for the overall for the Crucible, it's pretty much the witch trials are kind of, like, symbolizing the, like, McCarthyism and communists and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've touched upon this before, that, like,
McCarthyism,
that we know what it is, but I looked, like, deeper, like, I went to, this website, and I found, like, a bit on it, and it was saying that pretty much, that, like, it was, like, saying, like, what McCarthyism, like, was and everything, and then it's talking about how, like, Arthur Miller, wrote the Crucible on purpose to kind of, like, hide, like, to kind of talk about the American experience with, which was, like, you know, with McCarthyism, which is what we've talked about before, but, I found it really interesting, though, because it was saying how, like, certain characters in the play resembles, like, McCarthy or, like, Miller himself.
Characters in the time frame it was written?
Well, no, characters in his play that they resembled people in the book.
You mean people in the play resemble people from the time of communism?
Yeah.
Got it.
Like, it was saying that, like, McCarthy portrayed Judge Danforth and Abigail Williams because they're both corrupt individuals in the play.
Yeah. Doing bad things.
It said that, like, two of McCarthy's cronies reflected Reverend Paris, and that Arthur Miller pretty much was the same type of character as John Proctor because they're both kind of, like, tragic heroes in a sense. Because, I guess,
I get that, but does that mean that Miller slept with the girl?
No, I don't think it means that he slept with the girl. But
I made this guy like myself, so I make her.
Is Arthur Miller a pedophile?
I mean, like it said.
I think that may. Wait, if that's the case, and he slept with Abigail, I think that means that.
He's a pedophile?
Miller. No, that Miller slept with McCarthy. I think that's what happened.
No.
I feel like that didn't actually happen. No. Like, by those links, that's what happened. That's but I get what you're saying, because.
But it was saying that. That basically they're both prosecuted by unfairly. Like, they're both prosecuted by, like, corrupt legal system, in a sense. Which makes a lot of sense, because in the play, it's everybody's being called a witch and all that. And,
everyone's wife.
Everybody.
Wife.
Every single person.
It's like, all ladies, though. It's not that many guys.
Yeah.
It's like two guys and 8,000 women.
I also think that...
Every wife.
Like, it's interesting about the whole imagery thing, how, like, initially, you know, Chituba says that... Oh, I saw four people with the devil. And then by the, you know, end of Act 1, they're like, 39 people are in jail. I think that's kind of like, you know, McCarthy comes in. He's like, I have 205 people in the State Department who are card-carrying communists. And then, you know, after that, lots and lots of other people got accused.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of...
It just escalates.
Yeah, it's like an thing, and then it just keeps going. You have one person who makes an initial accusation, and then that just spirals out of control, and you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, in McCarthy's case, thousands of people who were accused.
And I think it's really interesting that, like, both, like, in the play and out of the play with McCarthyism, that, like, both societies are just, like, very corrupt and everything, and that he's able to kind of, like, hide it and use characters to really, like, hide people that he doesn't like and make bad things about. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of like also, like, when he, Reverend, it's Hale, yeah, asks John Proctor to recite his Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in, America... McCarthy, I'm guessing he probably would have had people like, oh, do you know the Star Spangled Banner? Oh, do you know the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, like, I can see that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that that's probably, because then it's like, she didn't know any of her commandments, and like, it's this...
Big deal.
Right, because he was all about, like, oh, patriotism, you know, you need to be American, democracy, and they're all like, church.
Yeah.
That's all they have, church, we're Puritans, church, raw, farming, church, farm, plow, church. That's Puritan in a nutshell. That's what they do with their life.
Yeah. So, this concludes our lesson. This is Rachel.
Sabrina.
And Ian.
With the Trio of Awesomeness.